This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is great. This is a huge step towards transparency. Donald Trump said he was going to be transparent with the American people. Our House Oversight Committee created a task force to try to get more of what we call American secrets out in the public. The American people deserve to know who was on that Epstein list and whether or not our government was spying on people and allowing this to happen to get leverage. Were people being blackmailed? This is a national security concern, so I applaud Pam Bondi for releasing this later on today, and I'm like you, I'm going to learn a lot once those names are made public.
Give us the names. Just yesterday on the Annie Fry Show, we were sitting around here saying, let's list the conspiracies that we want to know is true. Let's list the conspiracies that we would want to know are not true. We want the facts. And then that night, Pam Bondi's like, hey, you guys want some Epstein files? And we're like, yes, yes, in fact, we do. And so I've just been sitting staring at the TV all morning since like 6, waiting for information. And it is 12:07 here in St. Louis. Thanks for tuning into the Annie Fry Show. We don't have them yet. I presume that they might show up. Typically for us, it's about 3 o'clock and then the information is out there for the primetime news shows to comb through. But we don't have them yet. But last night we find out that Pam Bondi is telling Jesse Waters, yeah, you're going to be able to see these files today. Are you excited?
I am excited.
It's kind of a weird word for it, but...
Well, it's been so long. I mean, this is something that's been hidden deliberately for a long time. And so to have the transparency of the DOJ saying, yes, it is our goal here barely a month into the administration to release the Epstein list is great, because it's not only about this, it's about everything. All the stuff that we've been saying we need to know more about this, they're making those things a priority.
From what we heard last night, and I'm going to play this clip for you here in just a second, you know, I don't know if the information that we get, are there headlines that go with it automatically, or sometimes these things get dumped out and it's out there for people to consume, and then good reporters start combing through and they understand how to get to the meat of what that report might entail, and we sit and wait for the reporters to go, and then you hope that the reporters that are out there are being honest and not just you know, angled or slanted. But there are going to be some huge headlines, I presume, that would come out of what appears to be flight logs. Now, what is it? What are you trying to get? Donald Trump has flown on. Is it the Lolita Express? That's his, right? That's Epstein's, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't that the name of the plane?
The name they call him it. Yeah.
Trump flew on it, but did he fly on it multiple times?
I think that maybe it may have been a couple, but I don't think it was more than that.
I think it was always like intrastate.
Mm-hmm.
like inside the United States.
Oh, so it was never to the island or
no,
anything?
No. I find it curious that you'd be like, yeah, let's release these. And, you know, if Trump's name is on there and it's as implicative as we might assume that, like, a Bill Clinton's name might be, I would just think that Pam Bondi wouldn't be like, I'd like to do this in week three.
Yeah.
Or two or whatever it is for her. So I don't know, like, if Trump's name is on there, but he's said many times that he, you know, he's kind of explained his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. You can't give him deference that you're not willing to give other people to explain themselves. I would assume that if your name is on this list, if it's just a flight log, if your name is on that list, that's not automatically an indication that you are a pedophile. But we'll have to wait and see what comes out. Pam Bondi on with Jesse Waters yesterday, and this is kind of what got the wheels really spinning.
On your desk is, when can we see them, and what's taking so long to release them?
I do. Jesse, there are well over, this will make you sick, 200 victims. 200. So we have over 250, actually. So we have to make sure that their identity is protected and their personal information. But other than that, I think tomorrow, you know, the personal information of victims. Other than that, I think tomorrow, Jesse, breaking news right now, you're going to see some Epstein information being released by my office.
What kind? Are we going to see who was on the flights? Are we going to see any evidence from what he recorded? Because he had all of his homes wired with recording devices.
Yeah, what you're going to see hopefully tomorrow is a lot of flight logs, a lot of names, a lot of information. But it's pretty sick what that man did.
So Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of the United States, they're clarifying that you're going to see flight logs, you're going to see names, and there are over 250 victims that they are trying to protect and, I assume, redact. Gosh. I would like to be on the other side of the Epstein conversation. I would like to be where when Jeffrey Epstein's name comes up, it's not just Epstein didn't kill himself and all of the allegations that have swirled around. I mean, remember, we still have the what do we call him now? P. Diddy? Is that what he goes by? Diddy?
Diddy.
Yeah. Either one.
He's still sitting in jail. Just in the last week, I think it was, one of his defense attorneys said, I'm off this case. I cannot work this case. I ask the judge to release me from this obligation. I'd like to know more information about that. But to me, let's see, I think it was Doug here, just said, I must be alone and not giving a crap about the Epstein list. I wonder how many of you care as much about it as I do. I think that the Epstein, that the truth that exists behind Jeffrey Epstein's existence, you know, there's an island and they suggest that they had young girls there and they would keep those young girls there. Correct me if I'm wrong, because again, this is all stuff, you know, you hear stories of things that might be happening, but we don't talk about it in a factual way. And it's almost so that everything gets put in the conspiracy bucket and like, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. These people were being traveled to and from this island that Jeffrey Epstein owned, and he had young girls there, and they were there to have sex with the people who he brought to them.
Yes. It probably was people of all ages, but it included a lot of people who were underage, too.
Not a qualification to be under 18, but certainly not a disqualification.
Right.
If the names that are associated with that that have been thrown around, I mean, they're not just Hollywood types. They're powerful people. This is a culture thing. And we talk on this show a lot about culture. And I am much more interested in rooting out the rot, the decay, the depravity of culture, because I think the natural consequences downstream from that benefit the politics, which make us a better country. And it's not, none of this is about Republicans winning. All of this is about a prosperous, fruitful United States of America where I can raise my family the way I want to raise my family without all of the corruption being a part of the conversation to top to bottom, left to right, everywhere you go. It's not red versus blue. That's actually a really kind of shallow way to look at it. Which is why, if the Epstein list reveals people who I thought that I liked, I still want to know.
It's unfortunate that people have made this a little bit more political than it needs to be because it involves politicians. It doesn't need to be political, though. The sad part is that you just had an administration for 4 years that could have released this stuff just the same way as Pam Bondi is doing right now. And that was a Democrat administration. Now you have a Republican administration that's willing to do it on basically day 29 or whatever it is for Pam Bondi. So that there is kind of a political element to this in that one side was willing to do it and the other side wasn't. And you do hear a lot more Republican congressmen calling it out and saying, we need this. And I don't hear as many Democrats that tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm missing any. But you're right. I don't care who's on this list. I would like it to be public. And anybody who is associated be doxxed and outed. Now, today, what we're going to get, it may not be 100% concrete evidence that those people committed crimes, but you're getting one step closer to finding out who was involved in the actual crimes.
It's not even just about the Epstein list, because if you consider the Epstein list just in a news vacuum, in a factual vacuum, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It stands alone as an absolutely wretched existence that is a part of our reality that we haven't talked about and had the information on. The reason why, you know, I'm always like, I don't really want to know these things. I don't want, especially when it has to do with children, I don't want to know these stories. But if we are made to be comfortable not knowing these stories, then the stories can exist.
Yes.
The transparency and the light that comes across something like this makes it so that it can't happen anymore. So in a vacuum, of course, the Epstein story is a wretched, wretched story, and it should be shown to everybody so that we can ensure that we can fight back against something like this happening again. But it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists with the last 4 years of an administration that cared nothing about throwing the doors open on our borders to let people come in who are trafficking children. We are missing tens of thousands of children in this country under the leadership of Joe Biden and whoever the heck was running that administration, letting people come here. And, you know, like Jim Carafano, when he comes on the show on Tuesdays, I remember specifically, I think it was when, is it Sound of Freedom that was about the child trafficking? Is that mm-hmm. the movie? I never watched it. I couldn't stomach it. I couldn't make myself do it. I feel like maybe I'll watch it when I feel like maybe there is some sort of conclusion to the story, to the extent that you can have a conclusion to the story, but I couldn't make myself do it. But I'm talking to Jim Carafano on this show, and, you know, he's talking about, you know, it's not just about people coming here and wanting to leech off the United States of America. It's actually way worse than that. And you talk about the drugs, and you talk about the gangs, and you talk about the human trafficking and the sex trafficking and the child trafficking. And I said to him in one of these interviews, Jim, you know what? People talk about child trafficking. I have an idea of what that means. I've read enough that I have, you know, I have a concept in my mind as to what that means. I said, but I want you to tell me exactly what you want the American listener right now to understand about what these policies are allowing to happen, permitting to happen and inviting to happen in the United States. And he would talk about how these children are handed over to traffickers, coyotes. They're paid by their family members because you can't get into the country in some cases as 20-year-old man, 30-year-old man. You can't get in. You can't just walk in. But if you have a child, you can get in. And you can bring people in. You can bring families in. You can bring groups of people in when you have children to pair them up together. So these families will pay these coyotes to take these people across the border, and they use the children to get across the border. And then you're like, well, but then these children have the opportunity that exists in America. No, that's not actually it. They take them back across the border again, back into Mexico, so they can recycle this procedure, so they can get more people, make more money coming across the southern border, and they use these kids to do it. And they rape them while this process is taking place. And we sit around and we know this is happening and we're like, throw the border open. What does Joe Biden say in his debate performance when he was trying to get the nomination? Come. Come. He invites them to come. And they say, Joe Biden says, I'm supposed to come. And then what does Kamala Harris say when she goes to the triangle countries or whatever it's called? She says, don't come. And that was it. That was the policy. That was the end. They don't stop it on the southern border. And what's happening to these children? We're bringing these children in and they're being abused and we know it and we're not stopping it. That's happening at the same time. As a location where we know people were being flown with purpose and intent to abuse children. And then you add on top of that, the cherry on top of all of it, where we have a sexually explorative culture right now, where the amount of time, polyamory. Have you heard this word before? It's hit a lot in the last 48 hours. Conservative show hosts and news hosts don't know how to say the word.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it's hilarious. I'd like a montage. Polyamory, is that the right way to say it?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say yes.
Sure. I just went by the old function of just commit to it and pretend, and then everybody will be like, oh, she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
All these different types of lifestyles that now exist that didn't 10 years ago. I'm not here to pick and choose and divide, you know, these are okay and these aren't okay. Your morals, you understand what you believe, but who are the people who think it's okay? What did we change pedophilia to? Minor attracted persons?
Yeah, MAPS. Yeah, that's what they call them.
That's being normalized right now. Minor attracted persons. So you put that on top of a government that is willfully participating in the child sex trafficking across our southern border so that more people can get here. I mean, if you believe what a lot of pundits say, it's so that eventually they'll vote Democrat. And in the midst of this, we scratch our head on who are the most powerful people, the influential people that were, you know, we know that Jeffrey Epstein has very, very, very high up connections in a whole lot of places. Why was he doing this? Why did he die in a prison the way he died? I think it's the first domino, the biggest domino to fall, to help stop all of these other things. And if we can determine who or what is pushing our culture into this absolutely wretched, depraved way of living, then we can start to call it out. And if it doesn't start with Jeffrey Epstein, it definitely goes through Jeffrey Epstein. And I want names. And I am prepared to be incredibly disappointed by some of the names that might come out with this. I'm also prepared to not know a lot of, like, there might be a few highlights that come through and you're like, oh, well, I can kind of see that. It doesn't matter. If these people were doing what they were doing, they should be called out and humiliated and punished for what they have done. But we can't do that until we have the facts. And Pam Bondi says we're supposed to have them today. You said you heard originally that it was tomorrow.
Well, I saw that it was February 28th originally, and then she went on Jesse Waters and said, no, tomorrow. But the way she phrased it is some of those documents are going to start to come out today. So I don't know if that means we're really going to get the whole thing.
She said that we'd have flight logs tomorrow, that there would be names. She said that, and then she said it again, and she said, hopefully.
Yeah.
But she said, I'm making news here on your show, Jesse. So that would be pretty stupid if she didn't. She's got to do something now. There's got to be something.
It's got to be at least the cover page.
Let's take a quick break. I want to ask Hans von Spakovsky about the legal ramifications of what is taking place with all of this. Very curious. Also, last night there was a Supreme Court ruling very, very late that went in Donald Trump's favor. It was, I don't know if it was a Supreme Court ruling so much as the Chief Justice saying that those invoices that were going to need to be paid by the Trump administration to USAID, I think there's a little bit of a hold on that, so we'll talk to Hans about that as well. Hans von Spakovsky on the Annie Fry Show next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of Season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think this is great. This is a huge step towards transparency. Donald Trump said he was going to be transparent with the American people. Our House Oversight Committee created a task force to try to get more of what we call American secrets out in the public. The American people deserve to know who was on that Epstein list and whether or not our government was spying on people and allowing this to happen to get leverage. Were people being blackmailed? This is a national security concern, so I applaud Pam Bondi for releasing this later on today, and I'm like you. I'm going to learn a lot once those names are made public.
We, the people of the United States,
more perfect.
In order to form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
So Hans, last night the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, dropped a little bit of a bomb on Jesse Waters, saying that today we were going to get some Epstein information, some flight logs, and so on and so forth. And I wanted to give you an opportunity legally to give us your thoughts on, you know, if these names come out, if we find out that crimes were committed, it sure seems like there were. Is this just, is there a legal peril coming for some of these people whose names might be released, or is it just public shame at this point?
Well, at this point, I think it's probably just public shame because statutes of limitations have already run, and I'm assuming that criminal prosecutors at the Justice Department went through these records, and if there had been other individuals that they could have criminally indicted, they would have done so. You know, the one thing I would say about all of this is it's about time. Here's the rules when it comes to the records of a criminal investigation, criminal prosecution at the Justice Department, which is that when the case is going on, as it's being prosecuted, no one's got the right to get access to that information, neither the public nor members of Congress, because that could compromise, you know, the criminal investigation and prosecution. But once a case is over, and as you know, since the death of Epstein, this case has been over for a long time. Once a case is over, all of those records, with only a couple of exceptions, are subject to public disclosure. The exception to that are grand jury materials. You know, there's a section of federal law that makes those materials secret. And if there are issues of national security, or if the FBI needs to protect, for example, the identity of a confidential informant, that they don't have to release. But everything else, that is subject to public disclosure, and it should have been released,
Annie,
a long time ago.
You know, that was Congressman Comer in the sound that we played at the beginning, and he said that it's a good thing and we want to see these, what he referred to as American secrets, be revealed because the American people have a right to know. You know, you're talking about proprietary information when it comes to being a part of a trial, but, you know, we're talking about the JFK files as well. We've talked about, you know, Bobby Kennedy's dad, that situation, MLK Jr. There are a lot of just storied secrets that seem to have some relative information that the government holds. When does that become the business of the American people? Is it as soon, like you're saying, as soon as it's no longer part of a court case?
Well, it certainly is with this. Look, we believe in transparency. Congress has made transparency a part of the federal government by passing a very comprehensive law. It's called the Freedom of Information Act. And that law allows the public access to government documents with only certain exceptions. And I just talked about what some of those exceptions were when it comes to criminal investigations and prosecutions at the Justice Department. And anything that doesn't fall within those just a handful of exceptions, national security, grand jury, confidential informant information, or something that could compromise a current investigation, all of that is public, and the public has a right to that information. That's what the intent of the Freedom of Information Act was. And, you know, it's funny to me, Annie, when you think about it, what has been so upsetting the left for the past month? It's, for example, DOGE publicizing how USAID has been wasting taxpayer funds. It's the public disclosure that is making them so upset.
Hans, this is Ryan. This is kind of a big question, but why is there, what is the legal justification for even having a statute of limitations on something like pedophilia?
Well, look, there are good reasons for statutes of limitations, the chief reason being that, look, witness testimony tends to get extremely foggy the longer and longer it is since an incident happened. I mean, think about things that happened to you perhaps in your childhood or, you know, 20 years ago, and how well do you actually remember the details? And people's memories change after time. So there are good reasons for statute of limitations. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions that have been put in for some things, for example, that happened to you when you're a child. And oftentimes the statute of limitations for that may not start running until you actually become an adult, not from whatever time it happened to you. But no, there are good legal reasons for statutes of limitation.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. I want to play for you here a clip. It's from a little bit earlier this morning, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Harris Faulkner for Fox News reporting on a Roberts ruling here.
Chief Justice John Roberts handed President Trump a victory. Justice Roberts put a last-minute hold on a lower court decision, and it would have required the Trump administration to release $2 billion in frozen foreign aid. That's on hold. President Trump had targeted that money in his mission to cut waste.
So what can you talk to us a little bit about this ruling, everything that Donald Trump is trying to put in motion? If the left can challenge it in the courts, it's really their only avenue to try to stop him or most of the time slow him down. What can you say to us about this Chief Justice Roberts hold from that lower court ruling?
Well, that's exactly what he should have done. The trial judge, the lower federal judge who issued an injunction against the president had no basis on which to do that. And look, the most basic reason is that, for example, when Congress appropriates money, foreign aid money, for example, that it gives to the State Department and says, as an example, here's $1 billion that we've appropriated for you to give out in foreign aid. that appropriation doesn't say, oh, the money all has to be out by next month. It doesn't put deadlines. The appropriations are usually for the fiscal year. So the president and the State Department has a whole year in which to decide how and where to send that money. So for some judge to say, oh, if you don't immediately send it out, you're somehow violating the law, there's no basis for a ruling like that. And the Chief Justice was correct to step in and stop that judge from his actions.
Hans von Spakovsky speaking with us right now. We've watched Donald Trump bob and weave through a lot of legal challenges leading up to his presidency. And then, of course, we've seen a lot of legal challenges now that he has been the president, just like I said before, in order to slow him down a little bit. The DOGE efforts with Elon Musk and Elon Musk's tech support team, as he likes to refer to himself, they're working very hard to claw some of this money back that hasn't been spent so far. They are working on trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to do next with these finances that they are able to reclaim. It's very innovative to me. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I'm wondering if you're watching the efforts of Elon Musk's team that has been commissioned by Donald Trump, and are you seeing any legal peril for what is taking place with DOGE at this point?
No, despite court rulings to the contrary. And the reasons for that are very straightforward. The president, under the Constitution, is the head of the executive branch. He has a legal right to access every piece of information inside the executive branch, including classified information. So anyone who says that he can't, for example, give that same kind of access to Elon Musk and the folks working for him are wrong. And then the second big thing is, it's not Elon Musk making decisions. It's not Elon Musk saying USAID has to do that. Elon Musk is making recommendations to the president, and it's the president issuing these executive orders. So again, those who somehow claim Elon Musk is doing something wrong, no, he doesn't have any executive authority. The president does. And if the president wants to get advice from Elon Musk or anybody else, including you and me, he can do that. And no judge can stop that.
Hans, when you were talking about some of these court orders that were coming from lower courts that they issue nationwide, and I don't even know the words, is it stays or injunctions or something like that? But when they issue these things that stop the president of the United States from doing a part of his job, you know, is there constitutional question as to whether that's actually legal in and of itself? Like, is there precedent that the president does have to follow an order like that, or is it murky?
Oh, no. I think many of these judges are acting unconstitutionally and going far beyond their authority. And the most basic thing for folks to remember, for example, is, look, there are 93 federal judicial court districts throughout the country. When you have a federal judge in Manhattan, his jurisdiction doesn't extend outside of that regional district where he's a judge. He doesn't have authority over things going on in California or Texas or elsewhere. And so these nationwide injunctions, often there is simply no basis for them, and they don't have authority for them. And in particular, most of these judges are ignoring the rules on standing.
Hans, is the only way to get those things thrown out that they rise to the Supreme Court?
Yes, unless you get a good court of appeals who is willing to step in and throw them out, then the ultimate decider on these issues is going to be the U.S. Supreme Court.
Hans, before we let you go, just kind of in that same vein there, I'm wondering if you have an eyebrow raised anywhere on the Supreme Court right now for potential retirements that might occur within Donald Trump's tenure.
Well, you know, Justice Thomas is now, I think, one of the longest serving members of the court ever. I certainly hope he doesn't leave, because he is one of the brightest, best folks we've had on the court. But, you know, he's been there a long time. I hope he continues, but I think it's a possibility that he might at some point take advantage of the fact that Trump is now president to retire. I haven't heard that he wants to, but I sure hope he doesn't.
Yeah. 76 years old. You just got to start making some decisions based on the long term. But yeah, he's the best on there right now, if you ask a lot of conservatives as well. Hans, we appreciate you. Thank you for being with us. Look forward to having you back next week.
Sure thing. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, man. You know what we need to not have happen is a non-Republican replace Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. I think we're all eyeballing that a little bit.
And if you think about where the Senate is right now, I think that the midterm map for the Senate doesn't look terrible for Republicans.
No, it doesn't.
I think it's kind of a little bit more even, like it, maybe it stays, but you got 53 votes in the Senate right now that are Republicans. Hmm.
It is going to be, you never want to leave anything to chance.
No.
But in a midterm, typically.
You want to leave anything to Vance?
thank you very much. Hey, why don't we? Hey, I was going to make a great point, but we should just go to break.
Oh, go on. We're actually ending the show.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to leave anything to chance because in midterms, you know, the opposing party tends to do better. Mm. But the Senate map for 2026 still favors Republicans pretty well. So it could, I would say right now, you'd think it'd probably stay at 52, 53 seats.
Sure don't want to be banging your head against the wall going, why did we?
Yeah, right.
76 years old. And his birthday's in June, so he'll be 77 this June. 1948.
He's not as old as Trump.
And he seems very with it.
Yeah.
So what do you say, folks? Age is just a number.
That's tomorrow's poll.
today's poll is, are conservatives being too insensitive regarding Doge cuts? We talked about this yesterday. I read an email from a listener who was very complimentary of the show, but wanted to give us a little point of reflection on the way we talk about these Doge cuts, because they too, as Trump voters, as Republicans, are potentially looking at a very uncertain future due to these Doge cuts. And the question that we have for you today is, are conservatives being too insensitive regarding these Doge cuts? You can go vote. Tell us why you think yes or no. I'm not really 100% sure how this poll is going to go. I was thinking that maybe it'd be a little split, but I haven't looked at the results yet. I need you to come in and weigh in. Yesterday, we had a ton of people. We had almost 500 votes on yesterday's poll. And that process of me trying to get into the White House, it started at least. And I'll keep you updated with anything that I find out when I do. As Carolyn Leavitt has said, hey, how about we get some local radio show hosts in here? And I'm sitting here going, OK, fine, I'll try. You guys motivated me. When we come back, Wiggins America, about?
Ways to have better conversations.
I don't know why we would need to do that.
I just feel like this is something we could all use a little bit of iron sharpens iron on.
Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, next. Scream about all the people you hate. I just told him to play air drums, and Ryan's hitting the drums that are a foot above his head.
Well, it's like playing the arcade game Kung Fu Panda.
I have
oh gosh,
less reference point for that.
Technically, you first asked if I could just play the drums, and then
said,
I said, "You mean the drums right now?"
Like I could
totally
try
to drum it out.
I said, "Hey, anybody in here? Can you play the drums?" And Ryan and Brad were like, "Nope." And Reed's like, "Do you mean right now?" It's like, no.
That's a very Wiggins America thing, though. So that's what I thought you were going for. Yeah.
We never found out why you asked the question. Was there anything further? Or you
well,
just
that was
know?
For off the air.
Oh.
I just wanted to know.
Yeah, you had like a deep, dark drum question.
I have a set of drums in my house. Yeah.
Can you play?
I could keep a beat.
Ah, so that's why you were asking the question.
No. I mean,
it would be like me going, anybody ever been to Iceland? You guys are like, no? Oh, I have. Let me tell you a story.
No, I wasn't going to talk. I wouldn't do it in front of anybody, like even in my family.
You just do private drumming for yourself?
Shut up.
Gotta take the edge off sometimes.
Stop it.
Oh, mom, dad playing the drums. Must have been a bad day.
Stay upstairs. Lock the doors, kids.
Oh, man. Must have been a real day at work.
She's going to town.
It's Wipeout. She's playing Wipeout.
She just keeps doing the Phil Collins part.
Man, over and over.
No, that's just me falling over into things.
Stop.
Wait, I think she fell.
This is stupid. This is not what I wanted to have this conversation for. The only reason I said that is because I have a set of drums. I got it from some very kind people at church who had upgraded their drum set. They gave them to me to give to my son when he was like three, but it's a full set of drums. And I have like sat down to see if I could keep a beat in like 2011 or 12.
And you could, clearly.
I could keep a beat, but it wasn't anything that anybody would want to hear.
Because now it's a
huge stress reliever. I was wondering if you could, and if you could play drums, I was going to open up the set of drums that I have in my basement for some content, which now I think all three of you should have a drum off.
I would love that.
Oh, yeah, that would be kind of fun.
Really I'm good. Down. I don't have to be good.
Yeah.
Can we play the intro here?
Yeah.
So we can
Wiggins. Better, oh, Wiggins.
Better conversation.
Yeah, forgot it was so, Wiggins America.
Anyway,
it's really cool, just an example.
Cool story.
Lead in.
But I, you know, just a real quick other story than what I brought too. Man, I'm telling you right now, if you visit Iceland, it is so gorgeous. And I know you guys haven't been, but you just get in a car and you drive south to Vik from Reykjavik. Unbelievable. You're going to see waterfalls like you've never seen. No guardrails, nothing.
Okay, Trump, stop it. Stop it. Like you've never seen. It's beautiful. Like no one's ever seen, except for the other people who have been to Iceland.
Right, those people have seen it. High tourism area. But change your life.
Second only to Dolly World.
That is not a place. Dolly World?
Do yeah, the thing. Whatever it's Come on, called. Let's go. Keep it going.
All right. These are this is how you have better conversations with people.
Should have started the show
number
with
Number one, I'm not kidding. Number one is stay on topic.
Is it really? Why don't we stop interrupting?
Ryan, did you know that this was number one going in?
Oh, no, I don't look at these ahead of time.
Okay, got
stay
it.
Stay
okay.
on topic.
Stay on topic. In the same way you put thought into your outfit before attending
it's
an event.
Not going well.
It's
here.
Smart to prepare some conversation topics that could be relevant to the group.
Before you get dressed in the morning, do you know what you're going to wear?
Nope.
Are you as surprised as everybody else?
I'm like, wow.
Look at me go.
Look at that.
That came together.
I've worn that shirt several times, yeah. But wow. Really filling that out well today.
It hurts to laugh so much. No more laughing.
All that burrito serious. Really makes me look better in the belly.
Ow.
What's wrong?
I'm training again. And everything hurts. The second day is post.
Fine. Okay, no. Fine. None of us are training. Tell us your story about training.
You just talked about how your burrito made your belly fill out better.
That's my training.
Stay on topic. Go point two.
Ryan, you hold all the keys now because you can make her laugh and that's painful for her.
That's true. So one thing you're going to want to remember, Annie and Brad and Ethan to a lesser extent.
I feel loved.
Is to bring in more topics.
Yeah, I just told you guys to do that recently.
Yeah, you did. And I've been doing a bang-up job. Yesterday, I told a story.
We haven't had dead air.
That's how we know we're winning. All right, that was the first one, is staying on topic. The next one is asking more questions about your friends and your coworkers.
What never, kind of questions?
You can never ask too many questions. Although, here's one of the problems they say. Now, don't do these, though. Don't do what's called boomerasking, which is really...
Boomer?
No,
wait, no. Like,
has nothing
like
to do
boomerang.
With boomerang.
Not,
where really you're asking a
not
question
like those
because
insurance questions,
you want to tell a story about something you do in the basement.
So don't go like, have you ever been to Iceland?
Don't do that.
Because
yeah.
I have.
Right, you don't want to do that. You also don't want to ask gotcha questions. This is when you ask a question. I don't know why you do this to a friend, but
I think you do.
To test someone else's knowledge. I hate when I get those.
How about when you do it? Do you hate when you do it to other people?
Ryan's not really a gotcha question.
I think that's
guy.
A gotcha question, and I'm not going to answer that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Touche.
And then repeated questions. Don't repeat the same questions over and over just to try to get more information about the same thing. Do you ever do that?
No, not that I can think of.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever do that? Do you ever do that?
You're doing it right now.
It's like living with four-year-olds.
Next one. Levity.
Mm-hmm. Levity and brevity.
Pre-planning your topics and focusing on asking the right questions is as important as facilitating fun.
What kind of conversations are these supposed to be? These like business conversations?
No, this is just general conversations with your friends.
You're supposed to prepare your conversations.
Prepare your topics ahead of time. Don't ask gotcha questions. Don't ask questions that are just trying to get you to the place where you're telling a story about yourself.
I think that these people have friends.
Can we confirm that if the person that wrote this has friends? Because I'm starting to wonder.
They probably don't have friends, so they're going to try these things.
Yeah, they write for CNBC, so my assumption is they do not have a social life. And don't ask repeated questions. Remember that. Now, again, levity. You want to make sure that your conversations should be, this is what it says, conversations should be a good time. But make sure that you have some substance to that conversation, too. Mm. I always say this. Last one.
Aren't your favorite conversations with your friends the ones that have no substance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then
ones that, like, if you went and repeated the conversation to someone else, it wouldn't hit. It wouldn't have the same. But when you're with your friends and you're double over laughing for something so silly.
Wheezing.
Yeah. When I tell somebody, oh, you wouldn't believe what we said on the Annie Fry show yesterday. People are like, that sounds stupid. I'm like, yeah, but you can listen to it in real time.
Thanks.
And then it's real funny, though. I promise.
Yeah, we laughed hard.
We had a good time. I don't know if anybody else did. Last one is just kindness. Just make sure to be kind when you're asking questions and talking to your friends.
What percentage of these things do you do?
100%.
Of what?
100%. 100% of the time, too.
This is a live recording of Ryan Wiggins drumming in my basement. All right, let's take a break. We're going to talk about school education, the education system in the next hour. You're going to want to hear it. We'll be right back.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.